that we do not overlap this our upper bound as much, but as we can see, we still do it because it didn't work properly for all the cases. But nevertheless, the whole point here is just that we do not need to use this inverse because it has such bad properties, and there are a lot of matrices to which do the thing that we want, bias reduction, and keeping the variance rather stable. And this just didn't work because we had too little constraints on our problem. So to sum it up, the confidence interval estimation on this registered data is really rather challenging, especially if you have this bias and you can easily have it. We just had this small bias in our survey data, and it affected almost every estimate. And using this inverse usually yields to really, really bad results because calculating the inverse is not an easy problem. But we think that using a different transformation matrix could lead to a better results. But as we stated it here, this was too naive. So just having these two assumptions, and that's going to be okay, now I do not have any problems with variance and bias and so on. This is definitely not the case. And in some of our cases, it would even seem to underestimate the final confidence interval. So we would need more information to actually calculate this matrix properly. But then it would hopefully yield good results. And last but not least, doing this naive bootstrap procedure does yield pretty good results, and it is a very easy method. So you do not have to, it's not multi-source statistic anymore, but it's still a very easy method, and it will give you an upper bound for these statistics. And it's not costly in programming, and it's not costly in runtime and so on, so it's very easy to apply. And you do not have problems with bias, you do not have problems with this variance explosion, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Johannes, for sharing with us your experience. I think it's very important when we work in innovative areas to also learn what did not work so well, because this is frequently the most valuable source of innovation, and to really find finally the way that works. So thank you very much. I would suggest we really leave the discussion until the end of all three presentations, but I think we have a couple of seconds for quick questions of clarification, if need be. So everything was crystal clear. Thank you very much. We now come to the second presentation of this session by Bart Bakker. Bart is a sociologist, and he is in the Hague Office of Statistics Netherlands, responsible for methodology, and at the same time works as a professor at the University of Amsterdam. And his research is not surprisingly mainly on administrative sources. And his talk today has the title Quality Evaluation of Register-Based Statistics. Bart, please.
Okay. This will work. Well, thank you very much for the introduction. What is the topic that I'm going to discuss today? Well, we see that more and more administrative data are used for official statistics. Martina already mentioned that. And the most important reasons for that are that it's cheaper and reporting burden becomes lower for companies in particular. However, during the process of changing from surveys to administrative data, many times the question is raised whether the quality of register-based statistics are sufficient. And usually that question is answered by comparison of the results, the outcomes of the register, with the outcomes of the existing primary data collection. So the existing data collection method is used as a gold standard. If the register-based outcomes differ too much from the existing ones, then it's easily concluded that the quality of the register-based statistics is too low to use this source. However, we know that that is not true. It is not a gold standard. Also, the existing primary data collection has its errors. And the same is true for administrative data. Therefore, the question is, how can we assess the quality of registry-based statistics then? Well, my point of departure is the total survey error approach for registry data developed by Bakker and Das and Li Chun Zhang. That was published in 2012 in Statistica Nederlandica. And it's based on the idea that registered data are collected mainly with traditional methods. For instance, if you fill in a tax form, then that's a form of interviewing, and the errors that you could make with that look quite the same as if you use traditional survey techniques. And that model looks like this. We have adopted the total survey error approach from Groves and others for surveys with interviews. I will not go into detail because that would cost too much time. However, the idea is simple. We use the process of the production of register-based statistics and look for error sources during that process. And we distinguish between representation error and measurement error. Representation error occur if the data do not represent the target population, and measurement error occurs if a variable is not measured properly, so is biased. And all steps in that process can contribute to the total error of the outcome. I will refer to this theoretical framework in the rest of my presentation, but it's not necessary to have this in your head to understand it, I hope. So let us start at the representation side. You start always with the theoretical definition of your target population. And in the next step, you try to find a complete list of the units of that target population. There should be a base register for different kinds of units. So for persons, for companies, for jobs, etc. And that base register should be longitudinal in character, ideally. So you can derive a list of units of that target population for each date or each reference period that you want. And when we have derived the target population from that base register, we call it the base register start. In the next step, you link other registers with relevant subject matter variables. So you combine different registers to make it possible to create much more tables than you would than you could do only with one register. And then you have a set of linked registered population elements. And if you miss variables in your administrative sources, you can link sample surveys for the remaining variables. And in the last step, you can correct for representation error, for instance, by weighting or imputing the missing elements if you use those sample survey results. So that's the regular process. What are then the errors that you can come across in that process? Well, at representation side, you can have three kinds of errors. Overcoverage. Overcoverage is that you have elements in your base register start that do not belong to the target population. The second one is that you have duplicates. And the third one is undercoverage. Undercoverage is that you miss units of the target population in your register. So how can you then assess these three kinds of errors? Well, overcoverage can be assessed by deleting those who do not belong to the target population. It's easier said than done because you should be able to identify those units. This is the basic thing. And most of the time, units can be deleted that are not in the right reference period or reference date. And you can estimate duplicates by applying linkage techniques within your base register start, because duplicates have the same values on the identifying variables. So if you look for duplicates in your base register start, you can identify them and delete them. Undercoverage is the most difficult one. And it's one of the main problems in register-based statistics, I guess. You can estimate undercoverage by applying capture-recapture methods. For those who are not familiar with that, I explain it with a simple example. Assume that you want to estimate the number of fish in a pond. In the first step, you capture 100 fish, you mark them, and put them back into the pond. You leave them a few hours alone so they can mix together, and then you capture again 120 fish and count how many are marked in the first step. In this case, 14. You get then the blue table on the right here. 14 fish are in both samples, 86 are only in the first, and 106 only in the second sample. If you assume independency between the two samples, then the odds ratio is 1, and you can compute the missed part by the formula that's in the bottom of this slide. And you can compute the missed part of your population. That gives you 86 multiplied by 106 divided by 14, and that's 651. So you missed 651 fish in the pond. And in total, you have to add the 206 which were in your samples to have the total number of fish in the pond. That becomes 857. Instead of samples, you can also use registers. If you use two registers, the first one is the capture, so your base register start. And the second one is the recapture. That could be a survey or another register. This is the general idea. However, much more complicated models are used to avoid or to meet the severe assumptions underlying these capture-recapture models. And one of them is that you link the two registers or the two sources perfectly. Nowadays, methods have been developed that can correct for imperfect linkage, provided that you have linked your register probabilistically. And Dan Zultz will present such a method on the last day of this conference. So if you want to know more, you should go and see him. So let's go to the measurement error then. We start with a step that we derive the statistical concepts from the administrative ones. In most cases, you can do this quite straightforward. However, if the administrative concept differs from the statistical one, you could have a problem. You should use sometimes information from different sources to derive your variable correctly. And a particular problem can be the reference date. If you want to know whether someone holds a job, for instance, on that reference date, the starting and ending dates of jobs should be correct in your base register. And we know for sure that employers keep dismissed employees in their files because a lot of paperwork has to be done for their former employees. So employees stay longer in the files than they actually work for this employer. So be careful with that. If you miss information in your registers, you should use sample survey data and derive statistical variables from the survey, of course. And then you have to correct for measurement error. This step is between brackets because not all countries apply measurement error correction methods. Of course, most countries do some kind of editing of the data, but actually determining measurement error and correcting for that is not very usual. The next step, you should weight the sample survey data and produce the tables. So let's go to measurement error and how we can assess measurement error then. Well, in register-based statistics, bias is certainly more important than reliability because you have a lot of observations in your register data. You assume that you have data of almost the entire population. However, the data can be biased severely, in particular because you're working with administrative data and administrative concepts. There are two methods that can be used for determining measurement error. And they are both based on the idea of repeated measurement. You measure a variable twice, and the correlation or the association between the two measures is a measurement of the quality. Of course, the difference in means is also important, and therefore you should link a source in which the same concept has been measured to your register. For instance, a post-enumeration survey, that's very usual. If you have a census and you want to know the undercoverage, and you use a post-enumeration survey, but you can use that post-enumeration survey also for detecting and assessing measurement error. If you measure the same variables as you have measured in your administrative data. And then you can use structural equation models with a measurement component for continuous variables, or you can use latent class analysis for categorical variables. I will not elaborate on this because that would take too much time. The next error source is linkage error. And if you conduct register-based statistics, you have to link different registers and sometimes surveys. You simply do not have one register that contains all the variables you're interested in. So if you link registers, you create error. And we distinguish two kinds of linkage error: false negatives, then you have missed links, and false positives. Then you link the records of two different units as if they were one. False negatives, so missed links, can easily lead to biased estimates. They are a bit like item non-response in surveys. So you miss part of the information of these units you have missed, and therefore you can use weighting or imputation to correct for that. But that's not always possible, of course. False positives, so if you link the records of two different units, is a bit like measurement error, because you link the information of two different units and the values of the variables you're interested in cannot be correct and should be biased. And therefore, your estimates can be corrected by applying structural equation models for continuous variables or latent class models for categorical variables. Then I come to my conclusions. Register-based statistics, and in particular if you combine different sources, have measurement and representation error. The size of these errors can in most cases be estimated, but it's a lot of work that has to be done. It does not come for free. In some cases, it is also possible to correct the estimates for the measurement error and the representation error. A lot of work should be done before we can apply all these measures and correction procedures in the process of the production of official statistics. It's all, at the moment, in an experimental way done. And I recommend you to visit Dan Zult, who is giving a presentation on the correction for linkage error in capture-recapture methods, and Dimitris Pavlopoulos, one of my colleagues I'm collaborating with, is giving a very nice presentation on the use of latent class analysis in official statistics. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Bart, for your very didactic presentation. Nevertheless, there might be some immediate questions for clarification. Yes, please.
Giovanna Brancato from ISTAT. In the statistical production using administrative sources, we resort a lot on modeling, on statistical modeling. Could you elaborate a little bit on model assumption errors?
Giovanna, highly interesting question. But if you agree, let's keep the discussion until the end after the third presentation. Yeah, this was just for immediate clarification issues. Everything seems to be clear, okay. So thank you very much, Bart. And which allows me to announce our third and last presentation. And I'm happy to welcome Roberta on stage, so to say. Roberta holds a PhD in applied statistics and is a researcher in methodology and statistics in ISTAT. Currently dealing in particular with the evaluation of multi-data sources in the use of official statistics. Her paper, which has been written together with Fabiana Rockim and Orietta Luzzi, has the title Quality Evaluation of Statistical Processes Based on Administrative Data, a new version of the total survey error approach. Roberta, please.
Thanks. So good morning, everyone. Bart gave me the opportunity basically to skip all the introduction because he already did the half of the job. So we go directly to the main things of this presentation. So basically what he introduced, he was the life cycle of a sampling survey and explained you the measurement and the representation problems. But we are still talking about a survey process. So then we have an application of this approach to the use of the integrated administrative data. And then he also mentioned the work of Zhang. So let's go to Zhang 2012. Very briefly and fast. What he tried to introduce is basically was to apply similar reasoning that we are used to use in surveys in processes where we use mostly administrative data. And basically what he tries to do is to separate two different phases. In the first phase, we are dealing with the assessment of each administrative data with respect to the administrative purposes to give a measure of the quality of each administrative source. And then in the second phase, he tried to assess the administrative sources with respect to the statistical purpose. So the added value of his work was try to separate it two phases. In the first one, we have the evaluation of each source for administrative targets, for administrative purposes, so both population and units, objects. And then in the second phase, we have more the statistical part. And he gave this representation that basically is the same that we already saw with Bart. And let's focus just a second to the name he used. So basically, in the first phase, when we are still talking about administrative purpose, we talk about objects. While in the second phase, where basically he repeats again more or less the same process, he focuses about statistical units. So this was one of the first attempts to switch from a process that we are used to deal with or problems related to survey to another, let's say, another process where we are using more administrative data. Then we have the work of Wright, Zabel, and Holmberg in 2017, where basically they proposed a third phase where they introduced the concept of output. So they started to give a measure proposal, some proposal of a measure of an output coming from processes that are using a lot of administrative data. So what is the added value of all this work? I start to see a process that is bringing from the very initial phase to the very last phase, that is an output. Instead of focusing on all phases or sub-steps of the processes. What happened in ISTAT? In ISTAT, we developed a registered frame structure for structured business statistics. The project was very, very long. It's last kind of 3 years and basically involved many people with many different tasks and skills. And at the end of this process, me and my colleagues that are also presenting this proposal basically started to think about how can we represent this process, how can we evaluate the quality of this process, and we started to apply all these framework evaluation that we saw, so the work from Bakker, from Zhang, from Reid, etc. But there was something that was kind of missing. So we start again to exploit this process, and we started to try to separate the very the steps of the process in order to focus on the errors that were coming from each different step. So, and we learn a lot from this case study. So that's why I'm going to explain just few steps of this case study. So this is a statistical register frame that is basically is built for the annual release of statistics of loss on loss and counts for enterprises to satisfy a Eurostat regulation. So it has, of course, a reference population and some reference variables. And this frame SBS was built exploiting information provided by many different administrative data sources used at the micro level. So we have financial statements, exo studies, let's say four main sources, administrative data sources. In the first step, basically we evaluated the errors, the quality of each administrative data source with respect to the administrative purposes. So with respect to both target and variable purpose. Focusing on, and the output of this step was try to evaluate if we could use this administrative source in our process. In the second step, we tried to map the coverage from the whole system of the required variables. So we evaluated the presence of the key variables that were required by the structured business statistics regulation separately for each source. And we started basically to evaluate each administrative data sources with respect to the statistical purposes. So both units and measurement part. And this is the representation of our complete information framework. So basically we had some information coming from BR, is a business register, not base register as before. So we had some variables coming from our business register process register that we have in ISTAT that is called Asia. Then we had some variables that were covered by one administrative source, that is financial statement, that had very high quality. And then the coverage was a kind of full coverage, let's say, but only for a part of the population. Then we have another very big information, huge information from sector studies survey that is covering a big part of the population, but it has some lacks in terms of variables, and then other information from other administrative sources. And then we also added a column with the information coming from the small and medium enterprise survey. So what we learned from this step is that we have different population coverage, we have different degrees of coverage for each variable, and we have different measurement on some variables from the sources that are overlapping in some subpopulation. And then this issue led us to think about two strategies for integration. The first strategy basically is summing up all the information for each unit let's say, let's use as much information as possible coming from different sources for each unit. In the second strategy, instead, we gave a priority to each administrative source, and basically for each unit, we kept the information only for one administrative source. In the second case, of course, let's say we had more empty boxes to be filled, but we guarantee a coherence inside the unit. And we went for strategy B. Then we classified different groups of variables. So we have business register variables from Asia. Then we have a set of core variables that are the variables that are highly covered by administrative data, and where basically we also had some partial missing data. And then we have a set of components variables that are components of the core variables that are not represented by the administrative data. And so we went ahead with our process. So basically we have our registered data. Then we have step three, that is the integration process. So we go from the picture you saw before, in a picture where you see all the administrative data together, covering part of our, almost all our population. Then in step four, we filled the gap of the part of the population that was covered by administrative data. And in the last step, basically, we also imputed the total missing values, missing units. So in the end of step five, we have our register, filled register. And basically for, sorry, the all register for the core variables, for the variables that were highly covered from administrative data. Then in step six, we also provide some information for the component variables using information from the survey, using a projection estimator. And then in the last step, we provided output, so basically SBS estimates computed from the registered, and we released them. So we saw how this process, how the register frame SBS could be seen as a statistical process with different steps. What we learn from this experience? First, that two main different statistical processes can be distinguished, one for the core variables and one for the component variables. Then also for the integration of the administrative sources in step three, that we learned that alternative strategies could be theoretically adopted, and then, of course, we had to make a decision, but still, it's also possible to change it. And then, that is completely different to evaluate this register in terms of the register coming only from the integration of the administrative data, so let's say step three, then the statistical register obtained through a microimputation process of the core variables, so let's say step five, and in terms of the final estimates, so let's say step seven. And what we learned from a general point of view is that basically we miss a well-defined vocabulary for this process, then there is a need to define and distinguish different kinds of statistical outputs that can be obtained based on the use of administrative sources, and that the proposal from Zhang maybe could be a bit improved with the addition of another phase. So this is our proposal. Our proposal is basically to have the first phase that is equal to Zhang's phase, where basically we evaluate each administrative source separately with respect to administrative purpose, and we give a quality evaluation of each candidate. Then in the second step, we keep evaluating all the sources separately, but in this time, with respect to the statistical purposes. So in this step, basically, we keep all the information to go through forward toward the integration process. And we evaluate the integrated data sources only in the last phase, so phase 2b, where basically we have all the population together and we can give an evaluation of the entire process. So here we tried to go to make a cross classification from the steps of our process through the phases that we proposed to the entire, in order to evaluate all the process. So you see that in the first phase, so where basically we give a quality assessment of each candidate administrative source, we have only one step of our frame SBS process. Then in the secondary phase, where basically we try to assess the quality of each administrative source with respect to statistical purposes, we still have again one step of our process. And then in the third part, where we have an assessment of the combined administrative sources that are put together now for in terms of statistical purposes, we have the other steps of the analysis. So all the integration, then the imputation of the missing values, the prediction imputation of the core variables, and the estimation of the component variables. And then we give, okay, I just wrote here some indicators, but this is not important, you will see them. And so then what we learn from this story, that the identification of each error sources as in the total survey framework basically help us to represent the basis of systematic and continuous improvement of the overall quality. That is important to take into account the possibility that different strategies could be chosen to implement a multi-source process. And this is basically what we learn from our experience, because basically anything should be thought as already given. Everything can be should be monitored and changed using this evaluation framework. Then we have, in order to better disentangle how a process can be developed, it is important that basic situation in administrative integration are properly represented. Then there is this proposal that we hope to stress and to define in a better way, that there is a very big need to define statistical output, final output, in order to evaluate the quality of the statistical output coming from statistical processes, and that basically everything has to be done step by step. So first try to give an evaluation of all the process. Once this part is set up, using all the information that we have about all kind of errors, all kind of measures, all kind of statistical models can help us in evaluating this process. Then as a final step, focus on the final outputs. And of course, now it's time to start to think about models and measures of the final outputs. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Roberta, for sharing with us the step-by-step guide on assessing or evaluating the quality of individual sources and their integration. Thank you. So now is your time for questions, for discussion, whatsoever, and I suggest we take some before we split among the various speakers to answer them. And we already have the one of Giovanna. Bart, are you still aware, or is there a need to repeat? You're still aware of the one from Giovanna? Good. Okay, so let's take them now as they come. I have seen one question over there. Please, yes, you have.
Yeah, I had a question actually for the last speaker. Is that okay?
Yes, please.
Okay, my name is Paul Beamer from RTI International. So my question is, how do you decide whether a product meets your criteria for a fit for purpose?
Fit for purpose.
How do you know when a product is fit for purpose? What are the criteria?
Thank you very much. Perhaps also one question for Johannes, then we could have a first round. Or some more to Roberta or Bart. I have also a question to all of you. I mean, looking a little bit left and right, what you have seen now from each other, does this give rise to any of you to refine your work or to take this on board? I think that is each of you, and of course I'm happy also, Bart, to give you the floor for a question. You said you had one for you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you use the labor force survey as a gold standard. And we all know that that assumption is violated. How sensitive are your results to this assumption? Can you say something about that? Because it's crucial that if that violation is strong, then your story is based on the wrong assumptions.
I suggest we actually stick to the sequence of the speakers in answering the questions. Is this okay, Johannes, or do you need to reflect a little bit? Okay, so please do start with a few questions.
So the question was about if the assumptions that we had on the labor force survey, that we would see in the labor force survey the true values that we do not see in the administrative data, does this break our whole concept, so to say? And I would say that you will always have some discrepancies between the thing that you see in administrative data and the thing that you do you survey in a sample. The papers that we were basing our work on, they also did an audit sample where you could also have these issues with, well, what if a respondent doesn't answer truthfully. So I think the issue is that if this error is not too big, and it wasn't extremely big, it just had a big effect, then you would still need to deal with this. So I think the reality is more that you can expect this to happen. You can expect that this can be the case, but still, you need to deal with the ricocheting problems that this comes with. And well, the proposal that we have for this new transformation matrix just should just make maybe a step further to say, well, there should be a functional form that deals better with this issue than what we have in the papers yet. So there should be a functional form that can deal with the bias and that does take into account the model, for instance, that we use, because this also affects it. But seeing that I can just create these matrices, and we also did a lot of simulation where we just simulated a lot of these matrices, thousands of those, and this never failed. So, and you can do it with our algorithm, or you can do it from another way around, and you will always get different solutions. So there should be a not too small set of forms just for the matrix. But if you then enlarge this and say, okay, I do not want to have a matrix, but I just want to have some functional form that maps my initial bias, bootstraps, replicates to near my point estimates, then we think right now that there should be some functional form at this moment. Does this answer the question? Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. That was not an easy question, but I think it's actually something we need to take into consideration. What are we assessing against, and what is our starting point? And Bart, you have the floor now.
Yeah. The question was, do we need models in the future or perhaps now for the production of official statistics? And I think the question is yes. We do use a lot of models already to produce our official statistics. But I think you cannot use those complicated models as I pointed out, the structural equation modeling or latent class modeling or capture-recapture models in daily production. You should use them to produce correction factors that you can take into account for a time period of, let's say, 2, 3, or 5 years. You have to do research to determine how long those correction factors are valid. But I think we need those models to produce official statistics. In particular, if we want to use big data, then the need for modeling those data sources will be even more severe.
Thank you very much. Roberta now.
Thank you. So let's reply to the question from the floor. When you say some, say, product, which is the moment where you decide if a product fits your purpose, you mean a product, an administrative source, a candidate, administrative data, I think. Yeah. Okay, so basically, first, I think you have always to put your question in a different phase. So let's say in the first phase where you are evaluating a candidate administrative sources, so you're really evaluating if you could use it in your entire process, then you have some indicators that we already proposed. They were already proposed by Zhang and they were already known in literature. We are not inventing anything. So we are just trying to put the right things in the right place. But basically they are already known in literature, but you will find in some papers that we proposed. And what you evaluate is basically if the units, the object can be transformed from object to unit in a good way, in order to, let's say, reply to the statistical question. And you also evaluate if the variables could be transformed in some way that could reply your statistical questions. So this is questions that you do to yourself, but you have some indicators that you can use without problems. And I would say that in the evaluation of the fit of these products, you need the expert. You cannot start a process, design of a process, a new process especially, or monitoring of a process that already exists without an expert of the topic. Because as a statistician, I will never be able to reply to this question. And that's why this big quality evaluation framework is also should be used for monitoring and also could be used also to design a new process, but only when a very big team is already set up with expert of the topics, but also expert in statistics. So yeah, let's say use the instruments that we have, indicators that we all know, just to fit, put the right question in the right box of the process, and then work together with the expert of the content. Ah, you mean the final one? Yeah, we're not yet ready for the third part, basically. First, what we need to do is to, at least in my opinion, in our opinion, is to give a vocabulary for the output that could be exploited from register. So do you want to evaluate the register? Because it's also a possibility, because for example in ISTAT we use this register as a basis for other process. So mainly maybe you are interested in evaluating all the register, or you want to use the estimate, you want to evaluate the estimate of the coming from this register. And for the estimate, of course, you should start to think about some resampling methods and some theoretical methods. Very, very hard, because of course, our first speaker just talked about imputation and classification problems. But if you saw all the process, basically the problems that comes out in building this register are a lot. So maybe only with resampling methods you can try to solve kind of processes. But we are still in the phase where we are defining which are the outputs that could be kept from these processes. And then, of course, this is just maybe a question that I make it to you. And I think it's time to think about that problem. In literature, we don't know that much.
Thank you, Roberta. Any further insights?
Yeah, I have a question to Roberta. And that's, what do you think about capture-recapture methods and latent class analysis and structural equation models to replace those experts in finding the fit for purpose sources?
Just continuing on that issue.
Yeah, of course, these are models that are used, and we are trying to study them in the use in the official statistics. And what I think is a problem is that now, yeah, we need models, but we also need to know how to give the results, to disseminate results for users. That is the biggest step. Because, I mean, also for surveys, we are using models. We are aware of it, and we are not afraid to say that. With administrative data, we are starting to be afraid of what we know, because we know a lot. We see, you see in all NSIs, I think there is a lot of knowledge about models and about the specific aspect, but also more spread out aspects now. But we are afraid to say that we are using them, because we are afraid of what is the people are saying, are thinking about models, but we are already using for surveys, so I don't see the problem to use them for other things.
Yes, I think indeed this is one aspect that still needs to be developed further for the future, how these the results of the evaluation process can be well communicated then also to the users of the statistics. Any other questions or contributions to the discussion? Yes, please, here in the front.
Is it on? No? I can't
yes.
speak loud.
No, it's
on. Hélène Béra from Statistics Canada. Thank you. This was a very interesting presentation. As you know, admin data is not all created equal. Like, we have some data sources that are cleaner than others. So I was thinking, like, you were integrating different data sources, and you also evaluate each data source individually. So do you come up with a score, a quality measure for each data source that you could take into account when you start to ingest all these data? And could you use this in your capture-recapture method, this quality indicator linked to each source?
Thank you very much. Other questions? No, you are probably very hungry at this stage. But I think we still have a couple of minutes for a second round. Okay.
Also have a question for him. And actually, one of the biggest problems in using these models is that information coming from surveys are small in amounts. Let's say the N coming from the sample is very smaller, it's much smaller than the N coming from administrative sources. So did you think about using a correction, or I mean, how did you solve it or effort it?
Thank you. Any other question? Yes, please.
Thank you. A question to Roberta. If you have this fully integrated, fully imputed set of SPS frame, do you use that for business demography as well? Thank you.
Thank you. Question? No? Okay.
over there, please. Yes.
A question for Roberta. May I ask you, when you integrate the different data sources from administrative sources, what is the key variables that you use for linkage them? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so let's close this second round by giving the floor to the speakers. I think your question was probably to both to Bart and Roberta. Perhaps also Johannes, you would like to contribute. I don't know. Let's start with Bart.
Yeah, you asked in the first step, you try to determine the quality of each source you want to combine in a later step. And can you use that information to say something about the quality of the ultimate outcome? Is that correct? Yeah, I think you could do that. But I'm not sure how to do it. The problem is that if you have different measures of, for instance, bias, then we do not have the theoretical knowledge how to combine them into one measure. I should give you a not very good answer. I hope we can do that in the future, but we have to do a lot of mathematical work to try to find measures that combine different measures of the separate sources' quality.
Thank you. Johannes? There was that
The question about the the sample size, how we dealt with this. We did use the sampling weights from this Austrian labor force survey. So using the sampling weights, you have a more likely equal population then. And regarding the models themselves, the imputation models, they were already in place and they were already well established and well founded and well tested. And for the classification error, we tried to get as close to them as possible, since they were already explaining the data quite well, and we tried to use similar variables because this imputation already did yield good results. So we didn't go into a really experimental way with the classification error.
And Roberta, please.
Okay, thanks. We do not use this register for demography, at least as far as I know. Here are many people from ISTAT, so maybe someone else has much more knowledge than I have. We will contact you at lunchtime. But basically, we only use the Asia, so the business register, to settle up all the other statistics for demography, let's say. But we use, for example, this register, the core, at least the core variables has a sample frame for other surveys or in combination with other surveys on enterprises. So let's say probably this will be a second step for the usage of the frame. Then we didn't have problems for linkage, let's say, because this is something that is done at the central level in ISTAT. So every time that a different administrative source comes in ISTAT, at least on businesses, there is this office that Revit gives a code. So let's say the linkage code. So when we use them, we do not have this kind of problems. Of course, the first phase that you saw here should be, let's say, given to that office in order that they provide some indicators and so that we can already evaluate the possibility to use each candidate source. But in this case, we didn't. We took into account linkage errors problems, but we didn't have to deal with them. So that was the first one good step that we had. And then, of course, yeah, at least as far as I see the problem, as a big composition of indicators. So some indicators for the first phase, some indicators for phase 2A and 2B. And then, of course, you could give a composite indicator value, but I don't know if we will be able in the future to use the result from the initial phase in the second phase. I also don't see if it will be really useful, because I see the process, I see all these indicators, so maybe you're, as a user, you can already keep the information that you want. Sometimes we try to summarize a bit too much the information with these composite indicators, while just leaving them the opportunity to see where the problem comes from. Then, of course, is something that is an open question, at least in my point of view. So.
Thank you very much, Roberta. I think we have come to the end of this very rich session, which also was not short in terms of providing very concrete results and experience on how to assess the quality of administrative data sources and how to integrate them and what does it mean for our process quality and ultimately output quality, both of the sources themselves and of the actual estimates they are we are going to produce with them. I think a final applause is in order for Bart, Johannes and Roberta for very good presentations. And let me thank also you for the discussion, and now bon appétit for the lunch.